Hey, Token CEO listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
We got the sixth annual Barstool Cyber Monday telethon. As far as I know, still the only telethon that is for profit for ourselves.
It's an hour to 2 hours of just sheer madness.
Yep.
It's live, which is terrifying.
All right, what's up? It's Thursday, December 2nd. This is episode 192 of the Token CEO podcast. We are sitting here on my new old couch. Daniela keeps calling this the YP couch. I guess YP used to sleep on this couch, which is why she would call it that. And then she was like, ew, there's like a big white stain on here, which I was like, story of my life at this company. Anyways, I worked out today. And I worked out yesterday, ran 2 miles. I've been in a...
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all 4 refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Rut. Anyways, I'm back. And the thing about being back is...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So we're doing for today's episode. We have 4 things we're doing here. We're doing headlines. I'm going to have my friend Eddie from Chicago do those with me. We're going to do Q&A. Tico Texas is joining for that. We also are doing an inside look at our merch business, and there was no better woman for the job than Alex Rosenthal. She, along with Allison Saul, run our merch team. They are incredible. So they're going to give an inside look at what we do in our merch business. And then we're going to close out the show with an adulting segment, as we usually do. So we'll get into it. Come on in, Eddie. Well, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. How's your shows?
Good. They're going great, I think.
Yeah.
Just got to close out strong.
Yeah.
And then get ready for the new year. Never stop.
Have you been on the show yet? You have.
What do you say?
You've been on the show.
Yes. 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 One time we did, it was like quarantine stuff, though, when like the baseball and shit.
Oh, all right. Well, why don't you introduce people who you are?
My name's Eddie from Barstool, Chicago. I do the Dog Walk, Red Line Radio, and the Dayport Night Show with Eddie and Company.
Unlike most people at Barstool, I have ridden in your car several times, always in the back.
You have.
Mm-hmm. Very clean car.
Oh, you know, I try. It's got like a leak in the sunroof, so
a little water damage,
but like, you know, who's looking up, right?
Who's looking up? That happened to me in college. I would leave my car... I had this like really piece of shit Volkswagen Golf. When I say piece of shit, it was maroon, and it was an epic piece of shit. And I
like that the maroon adds into it.
Yeah,
too.
It does. There's shitty cars, and then there's maroon shitty cars.
Better than tan, though. Better than tan.
100% beige. 100% beige and tan. Those look really shitty, okay, especially when they get rusty.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I would have to ice my knees after practice. And I never did it, obviously. So I would just like go to the training room and be like, yeah, I'm going to ice tonight, big time. Mm-hmm. And then I would just throw them in the backseat of the car. And then I always ended up hitching a ride to the dining hall so that my car had like in the backseat, like just piled up ice and it rusted through. So there was a hole all the way to the bottom of the car.
You wouldn't think that little water could do some damage.
It really can.
It does.
Water finds its level.
It does. You're right.
Yep. All right. You want to talk headlines, Eddie?
I don't know what headlines are, but I'm in.
Okay. Wait. So first of all, how's the Dave Portnoy show going? It's been an exciting
couple
weeks.
It's going well. I think Dave's like almost at the finish line where he's at in his workflow for the year.
Oh, for we're the at year, the finish for the line
year.
For the year.
Yeah, not like that. Like for the year, you know. Once
football
season's winding down. So once that's over, we'll get, you know, a rejuvenated Dave maybe.
Okay. You know? Hopeful for that?
Yeah. I mean, either way, you know, it's whatever Dave wants to do. We're going to go with that.
Have you subscribed to my newsletter yet?
Not yet, but I will.
Need a new sub. Can you get on that? It's called Things You Missed.
All right, I'm in.
It's Things You Missed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Get it. Simple concept.
I saw the concept and I liked it.
Great.
Maybe you could take
the next step and subscribe to
it. All right, I'm in. I'll do it.
Instead of getting people who listen to this show to subscribe to this newsletter. I'm actually going to ask people who actually work here, who I pay to do that.
Okay.
That sounds like a good strategy,
I mean, what,
right?
300 though?
Yeah, I need 300 people.
That's great. We could do that.
We could do that? All right, I'm going to push for that tonight. All right. You can subscribe, Eddie, I'm telling you this, at barstool.link/TYM.
Okay.
That's probably why people haven't signed up, because that's a fucking terrible
But
way
it's on the social. I see your social
it's
all
on
the
my
time.
Socials all the
it's
time.
The Token CEO socials. Yeah. Like,
pretty good social,
unbelievable,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rachel does a nice job. Mm-hmm. If you want to subscribe to Things You Missed, go to barstool.link. That's barstool.link, LINK/TYM. Get it? Things You Missed, TYM. First headline, Jack Dorsey stepping down as CEO of Twitter. Do you care? Did you know this?
I did know that, yes.
Great.
It doesn't affect me any, but I know the people that get all up in the political
Twitter
frenzy,
ether.
Yes.
Yep.
They're real hot about it. Not hot in a good way or a bad way, but it was, how about the stock? Well, how much does the stock go up?
Stocks went up a lot.
How would that feel?
Yeah.
If you were him?
You know what, though? Being a CEO of two companies is just greedy.
What else is he the CEO?
Square.
Oh, what's that?
Square is like Cash App. It's like peer-to-peer payments. It's like a payment processing company based out of San Francisco. So he's the CEO of two companies. And as far as I can tell, he takes like 11 months off a year to go to like an ashram and be silent. That's probably rude.
What's an ashram?
It's like a place you go to be introspective and to work on yourself.
Oh.
You'd call that like a baseball field or something.
I think we should do that more here.
You do?
Well, we should do that more. I think that would be interesting. You know, picture probably, like the weird shit people would come back with.
I know. I think so, right?
It'd be funny.
All right. So Dorsey created the company in 2006. He made the announcement this past Monday. Parag Agarwal, who was the company's CTO, so they're bringing a technology guy in to be the new CEO. He's stepping up into the position. There was so much activity on the stock that NASDAQ halted trading.
Wow.
So I feel like Dorsey probably felt real sad at the beginning when the stock was like, zoop, like rose, everybody's fired up. And then probably everyone realized the pronunciation they had ahead of them and they were like, zoop, all the way down.
A CTO taking over, would you say that's abnormal?
Typically, you would have like a finance person take over or a revenue person. I think it's good news for Twitter. Twitter has not kept up with everybody else in terms of technology developments. Like, if you think about Facebook, right, or think about Instagram. Instagram used to be like one product, pictures, and then it was pictures and videos, and it was Reels, and it was IGTV, then it was shopping. You know, like, Instagram's been proliferating. Twitter's still the same Twitter you and I've been using since like 2006.
Yeah, they just change the interface like once a year.
Yeah, they add like dark mode.
Yeah, exactly. I did already see, though, that they're already digging up old tweets from him.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh. Like what?
Some political stuff, I believe it was. So
he's getting like the Twitter treatment that,
yeah,
that
like,
the rest of us get on,
yes,
Twitter all
like
day
everyone
long.
Gets, yes.
Two things about Dorsey stepping down. One is he is very obsessed with Bitcoin and crypto. Are you obsessed with Bitcoin and crypto?
No, not at all.
Not a crypto guy?
No. And not like against it, but like I just haven't got there yet.
Okay, that's okay. That's totally legit. Some people think people are going to jail for that. And then second, working at Twitter is kind of hard right now, being the CEO of Twitter when you're shutting off the president of the United States. Like, it's very political, very controversial. That's kind of a headache.
Yeah. No, I for sure. That definitely is it's a weird job. It's a weird time for media, I would say.
It is a weird time for media. Mm-hmm. What do you think's weird about it?
Well, obviously the traditional news sources are, like, I don't want to say they're being damaged, but they're kind of,
you know, one trusts them anymore.
Yeah, no, and then the same thing with like all these other like minuscule ones. You don't know which one to trust. There's so many.
You know what I think's funny is that there used to be like traditional media. Then there were a lot of like digital upstarts. There was like us, Bleacher Report, Gawker at the time was big. Obviously, Business Insider and BuzzFeed, HuffPost. A lot of those guys, I feel like, have gone away. So now you've got like old media, which has never been at a lower point in terms of consumer trust and loyalty. You've got old new digital media, which is kind of like not that interesting anymore. Like, nobody's doing anything big. BuzzFeed, who cares? HuffPost, like, nobody knows. you know, Yahoo, they've been trying to like break up and sell all the pieces of Yahoo forever. And then you've got influencers. And that's kind of media now, don't you think?
Yeah, I've heard, I don't have TikTok, but I've heard that those kids are kind of jumping in the fray.
Oh, with TikTok.
Like trying to report shit and stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, really? So that so that's where news is breaking. Why yeah, don't you have like, TikTok?
Can I be honest?
100%.
I'm terrified that I'm going to download it and I'm just going to scroll for 3 hours and then lose all productivity.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for real?
Like, I swear to God. Like, I don't want to.
Are you addictive as a person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you spend all your time on social media?
I spend a lot of time, yes. And it's just like, to me, what makes you better at this job and just other things like in life, I guess, is just experiences outside of the screen. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're if I go out and I have some interactions that I could bring back to a podcast or radio, to me, that's more valuable
100%
than like sitting there scrolling. To maybe not because I'm missing out on trends.
And I'm,
but like to me, that's where I am personally.
Well, it certainly makes for a more enriching life. Like, don't you think you spend that 3 hours and then you're like, oh, what have I done with myself?
Yeah.
I read an interesting article on that this morning where Steve Krakauer, who's one of my favorite reads, he has a newsletter, probably also not subscribed to that, called The Fourth Watch. And he was talking about how traditional media is like, now that the Omicron variant is here, like, that's all we're going to hear about forever, forever. Like, it's Omicron.
I can't believe that's real, by the way.
Hard, whatever. Can't get into that on this pod. But then the second thing he said was that most people who work for traditional news companies are new, and instead of having human experiences, like going to talk to people and hearing what the news is or what people's opinions are, they just sit at their computers and blather out this, that, and the other thing, which is all opinions, which is really unhealthy, which leads to the distrust of media, like kind of interesting.
Yep.
So I agree with you. Second headline, Eddie, is from, what's it from? Fortune Magazine. So Fortune Magazine cover story, three female CEOs, heads of billion-dollar companies. First is Sarah Blakely, which is Spanx. You know Spanx.
Yes.
Second is Bumble CEO, which is Whitney Wolf Heard. Do you use Bumble?
I have used it. I have used
it. Okay. Do you prefer a different dating site?
That's the only one I've ever used, actually.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Shout out Whitney. Mm-hmm. And then third is Ann Wojcicki, who's the 23andMe founder. Have you done that with
great
your DNA?
Idea. No, my sister did, and then that's basically like I did, right?
Oh, awesome. What'd you find out?
I
think everybody
crazy.
Finds out that you're like a big mutt.
Yeah. That pretty much.
What is your nationality?
Mostly Italian, some Polish, and then like some other random
mutt.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, European mutt. That's what
basically,
everybody is.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, what's cool about these women is they run billion-dollar companies. What is also interesting is that men who run billion-dollar companies, when they put their money back into companies, they put it into male-run companies. So 6% of money from men who run billion-dollar companies goes to women. That means 94% goes to men. What do you think about that?
Well, should be mixed more, obviously. I think that's great. I think all three of those women created great products.
Yep.
And, you know,
highly functioning, highly scalable companies, unicorn companies.
Yep, exactly.
One's in apparel, one's in science or tech, and one's in dating, which is great. Dating and tech, right? Mm-hmm. So those are great. These women are now leading a charge to put money into new startups run by women where 20%+ of their money will go. So big change, hopefully will help the female founder ecosystem, which is always something that needs help.
Totally.
All right, Eddie. I love that. I think that's it for headlines.
Cool.
How
headlines.
Was that? Was that exciting? Any well, other headlines
me.
From you?
You tell me. How did I do?
You did great.
I did great. Okay.
How is Dog Walk?
It's going
well. Do you
want to
give a plug for your shows?
Yeah. Dog Walk, Monday through Friday. Obviously, YouTube. Barstool Chicago YouTube. That's where we're pushing big
oh,
time.
Oh, that's where we're pushing? Okay,
yes.
Great.
Redline Radio 2 times a week, and then Dave Portnoy Show on Tuesdays.
What was your favorite piece of merch?
I love these hats. I really like these.
Those are nice hats.
Yeah.
Yep.
These red Barstool Chicago.
Why have you not had me on for a snake draft yet?
You know what? I am mad I haven't had you on in general. Like, there's so much, like, business shit I want to talk to you about.
All right.
So,
well,
like, we got to do that. And
when
we got
to
do a snake draft. What would you like to draft? Do you have a topic in mind?
I mean,
boss ladies, obviously.
Boss ladies could be good.
We like that. Yeah, we got to get you on.
Or like female villains.
Female villains, we like that.
Have you done that yet?
We've done villains, but not female. I think Cruella DeVille.
I
want to
be
picked.
In the female. Cruella DeVille, who'd you pick?
She was drafted. I think she was drafted. I mean, she's top tier villain.
Would you do Michelle Pfeiffer, dogs. Catwoman? Is she evil or great? Sexiest thing I've ever seen.
She was good.
Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, she was a good Catwoman. Do you like her better than Anne Hathaway?
Yes. Yeah. Times a billion.
Yeah.
It's more, Michelle know. Pfeiffer.
Well, you like Princess Diaries.
No, I did not.
Forgot where I heard that.
That's bad for my brand.
I never heard that. That was a complete slander on Erica's own podcast.
Don't libel me. We're very sensitive to that.
Is libel? I thought libel's written.
Yeah, all right. You just slandered.
Slandered,
me.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Little education.
Don't write it
too,
down.
For
we'll
the
sue
CEO.
You. All right, bye, Eddie.
All right,
thank you.
Back with my sis. Y'all missed us together or what? Come on. Y'all asked for it. It's fucking here. Eric and Tico back together.
Yes, we are. Hi, Tico.
Like we never left.
I know. I agree. Did you scare yet?
I did.
You did?
Officially.
Okay, great. Did you cook Thanksgiving dinner?
I did.
How'd it go?
It was really, really nice. It was like a Nigerian Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? Are you Nigerian?
Yeah, I am Nigerian.
No way. I've never had that. What's in a Nigerian Thanksgiving?
Jollof rice, fufu, farina, okra soup, you know, just good ass goat meat, pepper soup.
You made all this?
Yeah.
How do you make anything with those nails?
I mean, you know, I could do a lot with these nails.
I believe it, but there's supposed to be so many germs in there.
No, I mean, you know, I keep it clean, baby. Keep it clean.
Do you have to work at
like
that?
Like my fit. Keeping it clean? I like it dirty. You know that. I like it dirty, baby.
All right.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
And data rates can apply. We're going to do Q&A. Tico, Texas is joining for that.
Q&A. Let's do it. Come on. Get up in here.
Let's go, brother. Introduce you.
Oh. Yes, let's introduce you.
Okay, so I'm the real Tico.
Oh,
I'm
Lord.
Patrick Tico.
Yes.
You know, so I'm running this shit. I taught Tico Texas everything she knows.
It's my twin brother, y'all.
Yeah, we
my
twins,
twin brother.
So, you know,
co-star on the
Tico
10. 10. Shout out to the Tico 10. Go watch and follow, subscribe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great review.
Yes.
Appreciate
okay.
that.
Flip it up. Tico.
Yes, ma'am.
I just moved across country.
Ooh.
This one probably hits close to home.
Wow,
and
very.
Started my corporate career. Less appropriate here. I'm 1 month in and I think it's been fine other than my coworkers complain about nearly everything. This vibe was not apparent in the interview process. I'm at a good company and brand and I want to work as hard as I can. I also have noticed that the workplace can be clicky, especially with women, which sucks. I would agree. That sucks.
Agree.
Do you have any advice on how to navigate negativity with people I work closely with? Guys, what do we got?
Want to go ahead, bro?
So, I mean, I put it like this. If it's your fucking dream, then don't let them bully you out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if you're doing it as just like a fucking job and you just want to get away, I say just quit that shit and go find you something and go find some other happiness. Because it's not worth being in an environment that's toxic that you don't really want to build from. You feel me? But if it's your fucking dream, stick in it. Fuck
yeah.
them other women.
Yeah.
Focus on your shit and keep going.
All right, what do you have, Tico?
I would say the positivity comes from within. So you're always going to get negativity in a workplace because you have several people that work there and they're all going through things and have their own way to deal with things. So you can't let that even take that personal at all because you have to just work on yourself and be the most positive person you can be, and that shines out through that. And people are going to really learn to respect that and be like, wow, I can always count on her to have a smile on. I can always count on her to have good energy. And your energy will help their energy become more positive. So just focus on your energy and everything else will line in place, baby.
All right. So my only advice that I would add to this is I think this can be very common
One of the things that happens at work is when the new person joins the team, everybody else gets all wiggy and kind of threatened and they act clicky and bitchy. You got to rise above it because otherwise you're just going to feel lonely and like shit about yourself, which doesn't feel good. Focus on the work. Get your work done. Get the fuck out of there. Go have a life. Go to the gym. Get an echelon. Do whatever you need to do. And then be positive.
Yeah. True.
All right. Second one. End of year reviews. What do I do if my raise at the end of the year from my manager doesn't match what I had in mind? I was truly expecting around a 9 to 10% raise, and I was only given 4%. Do I go back and ask to counter it, just accept it, look for a new job, help?
You got to really, really analyze if you really, really deserve this 9% to 10% raise. Because that's the thing. We have what we think in our minds that we deserve, but I think you should actually go to your work and be able to really look. Do you really, really deserve this raise? And if you really, really believe that you deserve this raise, then go talk to your boss about it and be like, hey, yeah, I think that I did a lot of work this semester. And I don't know if you know, but I handled this. And your boss will be able to see that and be like, oh, actually, you know what? That's cool. And if they don't respect it, then, you know, maybe go find somewhere that you respect it or go just accept it and be happy like everybody else. Like, I don't know, you know, but the best thing I think is just to talk to them about it. You know, that's the best thing to do. Talk to them about it. And if you really feel like you worked hard, then you should get rewards for that. You should get rewards for working hard.
I often have this out-of-body experience where I hear the words that I'm thinking come out of your sister's mouth. And I'm just like, Tico, Texas, and I might be the same person.
No, seriously, we're sisters. We're sisters.
We are sisters. I can't twerk like you, and nobody wants to see me try. Oh, Patrick, God. Do you have more that you would add to that?
Well, like I said earlier, I believe if you think you put in the fucking work, you got to be real with yourself, take accountability. If you put in the fucking work, then you need to go in there and talk to them about it. You don't need to be rude. But, you know, be confident, but humble, you know, because if you quit without talking and communicating, you know, you might have lost an opportunity, right? Because if you communicate, they might be like, okay, we understand. And they might give you what you're looking for. And if they don't, then fuck it. Then you could just quit. But at least you could say, hey, at least I fucking tried. And then you can move on from there. No regrets.
All right. I love that, guys. So my only thing that I would add is you have to understand the context of your company. Like maybe your company had a great year. I'm having a bad hair day, aren't I, Tico? Mm-hmm. But maybe your company had a bad year. So 4% could be like the best anybody got. Exactly. Not a great sign for your company. Let's be clear. Like not your company's not crushing it if the best you can do is 4%.
Yeah.
But I think you need context on like what was the biggest raise or what range did you, you know, what are the ranges you had to work with?
Exactly.
The second thing is you've got to write down what you do. And you have to advocate for yourself. So I did this, this, and this. Now, you also have to be prepared that your manager may say, ooh, but the next guy over there, if it was like Tico and Patrick, it would be like, Tico did this, but Patrick did 10 times that.
Yeah.
So I think getting context is important.
Exactly.
But I agree with both of you. You got to be an advocate for yourself.
Definitely.
All right, last question. Do you get your boss a gift for the holidays? What's the rule on giving gifts to coworkers? Like, how do you manage that?
I think gifts come from the heart. So if you have it in your heart that you want to give a gift to someone, it shouldn't be because you're trying to suck ass. It shouldn't be because you're trying to kiss ass. It shouldn't be because you're trying to get in good graces. It should be from a genuine place in your heart. That should be for coworkers. That's the receptionist, the door guy, whoever, because they all play a role into the company. So whoever you feel like giving a gift and you bring feel it from your heart, give it. But it just shouldn't be with any expectations because that's when you get disappointed. Don't give a gift to get a gift, okay? Like, give a gift because you want to see somebody smile and you want to see somebody happy. And if that's your boss, I have great bosses. So I would give my boss holiday gifts, and that's not to kiss ass. Just because I genuinely am so fucking honored to be working with them, you know? So I could see. I'm definitely going to get you a gift.
You are?
I am going to get you a gift. Yeah, I'm going to get you a gift, honestly.
I believe, you know, as long as you know that, you know, people in the office are going to be fucking a little, maybe a little bit jealous because you might got somebody a gift, the other person didn't get one, you know, so you got to be able to take that on the chin if it kind of backfires. But, hey, I say fuck it. You know, do take care of who took care of you. Your boss is a great boss. Fucking let her know she's a great fucking boss. You know what I'm saying? I say take care of who take care of you, whoever got your back, whoever supports you and keep you pushing forward. Yeah, definitely let them know they appreciate it.
That's great advice. The other thing I think is I hate when people mass manufacture gifts.
Exactly.
Like, don't bother giving if you're like, hey, I'm going to get 30 gift cards.
Exactly.
Write a nice note. Have it be personal. Yes. Make a thoughtful gift. Yes. All right, you guys, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tico 10.
Tico 10 in this bitch.
All right, so this is the Black Friday, Cyber Monday recap episode. Black Friday and Cyber Mondays are big deals for us at Barstool. We pay salaries from this. We do bonuses from this. We need a new floor of this office. This pays for it. We have a line of credit that we want to pay back. Like, this is the time of year where we make all of the ends meet, and we also save up for the things that are important for this company, first and foremost being our people. Our merch business helps pay for that. Alex Rosenthal, who leads our merch team, is joining us on this episode to talk about what it's like to work as part of Barstool's merch team. These guys work around the clock. They're so dedicated. They're so creative. I was blown away at midnight on Thursday of Thanksgiving, just seeing the energy with which all of our talent promoted everything. And then more importantly, just how creative and different all of the gear and merch was. Like, it was so incredible to see. 5 years ago, we were just making t-shirts and hats and koozies. Koozies were like a big deal. Now we're making pajamas, books, shoes, hats, high-end sweatshirts. Like, we're making so many different things in so many different ways with so many different brands. All right, so these 4 days of sales, so we start at midnight on Thanksgiving. We then go all day Friday for Black Friday. We promoted over the weekend, and everything culminates in Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday is a live telethon. Dave had the idea 5 years ago that he wanted to do a Jerry Lewis telethon. We put all of our talent on the phones. We put them on the phones in a live stream. Every year, we try to one-up the year past in terms of whatever stunt or promotion we're creating. The Stoolies get into it. Our fans participate. They promote. We share everybody's receipts. We share all the social conversation. And we try to make a gimmick that makes everyone feel part of what we're trying to do as a company. So here's a look at years past and what it takes to pull it off.
Well, what I need you to tell me is what you bought today. I need you to tell me right now what you bought. Well, I need you to go back into that store and buy some more. Buy twice as much as what you just bought. I'm looking at the number right now, and I need to see it skyrocket.
Every year, we host the Barstool Sports Cyber Monday Telethon.
Buy another one. I just made another sale. Hey, great talking to you, man.
This streaming special is a chance for us to have some of our employees show off the merchandise.
That is
plus
totally
size models only.
The best seller is Sleep When You're Dead, and we have a bunch of new sets this year, which are sick.
And give Stoolies the chance to chat with their favorite talent.
No, like, how did you come up with the idea for Saturdays for the Boys? That's definitely all you. Did you just get trashed one day and said Saturdays for the Boys?
No, it was a guy. A guy said it in a bar, and I thought it was awesome.
We put the dollar amount we've sold up on the screen.
All right, that's the siren. That means we've hit another 10,000, up to 50.
We're at 147 grand right now. We hopefully finish strong. Anus will be the boys to get us there, I suppose.
Yeah, we will.
So that our audience is engaged with whatever competition we've conjured up that year.
So we got this set up. White Sox Dave gets one pitch. Every $10,000 we sell,
they have to finish all 10 tasks, unlock all 10 lockers to get the final key. If they do not do that before this timer runs out, then they're locked in here for potential overnight.
And sometimes the stakes are high.
All right, count it down, Ron.
3, 2, 1. Yeah!
But honestly, the whole telethon is a shit show.
Y'all know what it is. Don't mess with Tico, Texas, bitch!
Let's go!
Oh, hell yeah, Tico!
What happened there, Tico?
This is the dumbest thing ever. I love it.
That's four.
They're singing.
Melikalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
And there's guaranteed to be fucked up technical issues.
Everybody who does this at our company turns into Scorsese. It's like, give us one camera to look at, we're good. We don't need you cutting back and forth. Again.
That was everything. I like the Saturdays for the Boys. I hear myself echoing. You guys got to work on this problem.
Yeah, I know. I'll try to work on it, I guess.
We don't need it. This doesn't have the Scorsese in the booth. This isn't a great show. We get it. He's doing, this is Survivor style.
But it's not all fun and games. This is big business for Barstool Sports. The four-day stretch between Black Friday and Cyber Monday accounts for almost 20% of our merchandise sales for the entire year. The merch team begins planning for this in the spring, and they really ramp up designing, purchasing, and unboxing in the weeks before. And the production team tries to iron out the control room processes.
Is this the angle we're going to shoot it from? Okay.
While devising the most creative and engaging sideshows.
All right, so for Cyber Monday, what we're doing is a dunk tank with Jersey Jerry and Jeff Nadeau, the two rough and rowdy fighters. They will, at the beginning of the night, submit how much they think we're going to make in merch sales for the night. As the night goes on, people will present their merch. When they are done presenting, they will walk over to the dunk tank and put in some kind of disgusting ingredient that we've laid out on the table, and it'll get progressively grosser as the night continues.
Mostly food. I can run through it real quick, but eggs, mayo, milk, pickles, anchovies, cottage cheese, yeah, Jello, honey-baked ham, shaving cream, baby formula, olive oil, beer, a full burrito, ketchup, beans. It's already going to be like kind of stinky.
It's going to be gross.
Then it all comes to life.
Sixth annual Barstool Cyber Monday Telethon. As far as I know, still the only telethon that is for profit for ourselves.
These hoodies right here are not being talked about enough.
Pick something and throw it in the bucket. That's gross.
It was the ham.
It smells so bad.
Sorry. This is
your fault, Dan.
Yeah, no,
this is your fault.
Listen.
So God, the girl.
Oh my God, it's bro.
We've got the blue, the green joggers here.
We're at 213. That will be the final update. Jersey Jerry, 181, 181,000. Jeff Nadeau, 215,000. Winner, Jeff Nadeau.
There you go.
And there it is.
Thank you, everybody who bought. That's the telethon.
December 10th.
Were you doing something?
December 10th.
No, that's it. That's a telethon.
Wait, December 10th.
December 10th.
December 10th.
It's smart, it's fun, it's quirky, and it's totally Barstool.
Thank you again, everyone who bought it. We had a great Black Friday.
Oh, boy.
Great Cyber Monday.
We got Santa Dugs.
Oh! Dougs, don't touch me, Dougs. So, thank you again, everyone who bought.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
So, Alex is our SVP of Commerce. She's joining us. She's going to talk about Cyber Monday. She'll talk about Black Friday. She talks about what it's like to be a working mom. And she talks about what it takes to be successful at Barstool Sports. And then finally, one small apology, which is apologies for the construction. We are expanding into a new floor. And so you're hearing a little bit of that construction during our conversation.
Hi, my name is Alex Rosenthal. I lead our commerce efforts.
Okay.
So that is our store, our wholesale efforts, the operations in between, yeah, product development.
What did you do before here?
I started my life in finance because my parents told me that was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I could not be put in a cubicle. That was
not a good idea.
But I did meet my husband there. Okay. That was good.
Shout out husband.
Yes. Hey. Hi. Hi, Josh. I then went on to start a company with my dad and my brother.
Okay.
We made iPhone battery cases, which was really fun. It was before everybody and their mom made iPhone battery cases. I ended up licensing that out, and then I went to a company called Quirky. We made invention accessible. It was all like-minded people of just like, let's figure it out. We developed products for people that were sitting in the middle of, you know, Idaho and think that they have a great idea, not the resources to do it. We helped them bring it to life, bring it to retail across the entire globe. That was an amazing experience. From there, I went to start a company with we made organic snack food for kids.
Okay.
So licensed with Disney and Nickelodeon and like Paw Patrol and stuff like that, bringing organic snacks to Walmarts across the world. That was exciting. And then I came here.
Okay. And what do you love about it here? And what do you hate about it? And what have you learned from it?
I love that the opportunity is endless. We can make a decision today and implement it today because everybody's hungry and just wants to make it happen. That's a strong word. But I don't know. You're dealing with a lot of people. there's definitely a lot of personalities. Like when I talk to people about, you know, coming and joining us, it's you're dealing with, let's say, you know, 15 to 20 different mini heads of companies who want all of your time all the time. And you have to make everybody happy. But we luckily, I have an incredible team and we make everybody happy. We bring their products to life. I love the fact that like people are wearing our shit. Like you go walk around an airport and somebody's wearing something. I'm like, I made that.
Yeah.
My team made that. So it's just an incredible opportunity to bring things to life, help amplify brands, get the consumers excited, jump on a viral moment. It feels like a game almost. Like we see something, we're always watching the internet, watching our talent. Something happens, bring it to life, put it on a t-shirt, and just watch like the numbers soar. And it's an incredible feeling. It's very like instant gratification.
Do you have a favorite piece of merch that we've ever made?
I think the most instrumental piece of merch that I made that helped me really understand Barstool was Caleb's coffee book. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Coffee table book. So that was right when I started in 2018. He came to us with an idea and he's like, do you think we can do this? And it was like, you know, we at that time we were making t-shirts all day, every day. And I'm like, yeah, of course we can do that. And that was like something that my dad taught me, like always just say yes and figure it out. So we made this book and it was featuring everybody in Barstool. And it was like a great download of who everybody is. There's one section of it was PFT section. And I was reading over for typos and correcting things and everything like that. And so like I handed it back to Caleb and I'm like, oh, by the way, I like saw a bunch of, you know, misspellings in PFT section. And everybody in like the room laughed at me like, oh, no, no, we don't fix that.
That's PFT.
Yeah. So it was a great introduction to like everything Barstool. But I think the most exciting thing is like people want to wear Barstool Sports now. And when I joined almost 4 years ago, it was, you know, the funny shirt and like that was what people were buying. But now we can literally put out a sweatshirt, a big crew neck that says Barstool Sports and people are excited to wear it and we're more of a household name. And I don't know, it's been so exciting.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, so it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I feel we are always in a Black Friday, Cyber Monday disaster.
Yep.
Like, I also really love the merch business is my favorite part of the Barstool business, like bar none. One, because it's exhilarating and unknown. I remember my first week at Barstool, my first day at Barstool, I made the Mondays through Fridays are for the girls t-shirt. I really had no idea what the fuck I was doing or how stoolies would respond. And then I was like, oh my God, this thing is like the instant gratification from the internet on a product that becomes a conversation. Then we made koozies. Like it's, I think we are at our best in merchandise because it shows the creativity and then there's something meaningful about it becoming physical.
Yep.
You and I were talking about like all the disasters for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Like we had Welker on last year. I made Welker catalog all the failures. But talk a little bit about like what's it like to live on that tightrope because one of the things that's, I think, really different about us is we will scream at each other on the internet. So you're not safe, right?
Oh, never safe.
You fuck up a merch order. The customer's yelling about it. Dave's yelling about it. I'm complaining about it. Like, talk a little bit. Like, that's so different from a typical company and a typical commerce business.
Yeah, we are very exposed all the time. My first day, I walk in the building. And I met you probably and we were like, hey, welcome to Barstool Sports. Don't fuck up Black Friday. That was in May of 2018. And it's always been this incredible, like the year before the sale didn't turn on and like
the prices were all wrong.
It took a team of two at the time to like sit and code in all of the right prices for like hours upon hours. So all I had to do was not fuck up Black Friday. And it became evident why. Like it's the one time of the year where – you know, we have talent that is out on the road, out doing and talking about their own thing. It unifies us. Everybody's talking about the exact same thing for the moment, and all eyes are on us.
Yep.
And it's the most powerful and incredible place to be, but also terrifying. One person doesn't get their item by Christmas, we've ruined Christmas for the entire world.
Yeah.
So it's definitely just an incredible, it's a vulnerable place to be. But at the same time, we start working on products, you know, 6 months in advance and an idea that somebody on my team has, that product just soars. We see the numbers immediately take off and the feeling of just watching that and some bringing to life like this mock that like probably looked like shit when we were showing it to talent, like have the vision with us. This is going to be a great product. Then seeing it in their hands, promoting it, and then watching it like just the sales take off. It's just like an incredible, like from start to finish, great thing to happen.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Give people a sense of proportion, like of our merch business. We have like a multi-million dollar merch business.
Yep.
What percentage of it is driven from 3 to 4 glorious days in November?
3 to 4 glorious days is 15% of our total year revenue, which is like
in 4 days.
In 4 days. And the magnitude of how it's grown. So I got here in 2018. We are now doing 4 times what we were doing in 2018. And so we've 4 times growth and then 15% of that. It's just an insanely important time for us, which adds to the stress, but also the excitement watching it all happen and unfold.
Yep. Small PSA from Alex, which is huge supply chain issues in 2021.
Please be patient.
We have gotten ahead of it. We do not control the Postal Service.
Yes.
Like our magic ends at like the FedEx USPS pickup point. Yep.
Our customer support team would really appreciate it if you understood that.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that I love about Cyber Monday was when we moved to New York, it was really Dave's t-shirt shop back then. It was like Welker and Dave, and like we didn't even have a contract with Touchstone that did our manufacturing. Like we had one Bella canvas blank, and that was really about it. You never really knew anything about the shipping, pricing. We had no strategy. Like it was just like Fruit Loops. So, but Dave had this idea of a Jerry Lewis telethon. So we started this telethon, I want to say in 2016, we must have started it that November. We did it at the bar. We did it in the office. We had like Brett Merriman got a bunch of risers and everyone was sitting and we were trying to get Pete to figure out how to get all the phone lines where if you ordered a certain amount of merch, you could call in and talk to Dave or Big Cat or PFT or, you know, anybody who was here, KFC, K Marco, anybody who was here at the time. It's since evolved where like every year we're trying to outstunt ourselves. And what I love about it is it's like this weird... It's a it's broadcast on Barstool Sports. It's weird. You never really know what's going to happen. There's hard selling in it. Like it's a complete shill to buy merch. It is a complete peer pressure of like, we want to hit this number. And then there's some ridiculous antics that are either very boring, exhilarating, stupid. I mean, remember one year we had a paint gun and Smitty almost got hit in the head. And it's like, so how do you see that?
Yeah. This is like one of the most incredible times because, again, it's like you said, it's just a straight up like plead to buy.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming together for the same goal. We are one of the only companies that puts those numbers out there. These are our aggressive goals. Help us hit it. Not only help us hit it, but be involved. Like if you help us hit it, you can phone a friend. You can KFC's merch sells more than anything. He can shoot YP with the paint gun.
Yeah.
So we make it very like –
Participatory.
Yeah. Everybody's driving towards the same goal. It's an hour to 2 hours of just sheer madness.
Yep.
It's live, which is terrifying.
Yep.
And it's very much real time. So my team is, you know, running around and wear this, put this on, like anything to get in front of the camera. And you just see the instant like gratification of the success. So it's been a whirlwind. We've changed the we've planned the telethon, you know, 3 months in advance. And then the day morning of, somebody will be like, you know what, we're not going to do this. Let's do this. And it's just very much on the toes in a Barstool way. Mm-hmm. We are growing up as a company and there's more production and theatrics. But at the end of the day, we
it's
just want to like see somebody fall into a dunk tank full of fish heads and shit. Like that's what we do. So it's great.
And what do you worry about?
Everything. There's a long list of anxieties. You know, we want to put out incredibly quality products. We don't want to disappoint our customers. We, at the same time, want to capture as much revenue as we can. We have a system of fake loading products. Mm-hmm. Basically, to jump on the moment, we'll put up a design that doesn't physically exist. People will buy it. The next day, we will place our orders, and it's a race to get it back out the door to customers. That's like our norm. Throw that into Black Friday, where we have Christmas deadline, and we just don't want to ruin people's Christmas.
Yep.
It's just the whole thing. So supply chain is a mess. Like every year there's a new like hurdle that we're jumping over. Supply chain blanks, like not having enough product, having too much
suppliers.
Product, somebody getting pissed that somebody got a product that they wanted to have, you know, internal fighting that then becomes external and on the internet, being called out personally.
Yeah.
I've avoided that, and I'd like
you
to
really
stay
have.
That.
You've done an amazing job of that. This might be your year.
No, I hope not. Fingers crossed.
This part of our business is so emblematic of what makes this company great, which is say it or post it and figure it out after. Like, that's all we've done is just like figure it out. Just like do it, figure it out, figure it out, figure it out. And you've built this really incredible team. Like, one of the things I love is we have a merch team Slack. It's the most fucking annoying thing ever. But it's so cool because everyone in the merch team is just constantly ideating. Like, my Slack notifications late at night and all weekend long are just going off, going off, going off. And it's so inspiring because it's like everybody's just enthusiastic and excited. And the same way that our talent, like, we've conditioned this whole team of people where, in the same way the talent watches what's happening on the internet or in pop culture or in sports, your team is doing the same thing and only thinking about products. And that's not something you can train people to do or tell people to do or cajole people to do. It really is just the culture we've built here, which is so special.
It's a hunger. I think it's a hunger and an excitement and, like, that gratification leads to them thinking about the next idea.
Yeah.
Like, you see it once and then all of a sudden you want to come up with, like, the next best design. You want to jump on the next bandwagon, interacting with the talent and, like, showing them, like, hey, we should do something around this. Then being able to go back to them and say, like, that one just crushed it.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. It's just like, it's a very, it's a circular thing.
Yep. And how do you've talked, so we did our, like, pen Barstool the Score women's group the other day, and you were like, you broke my heart. Like, sometimes you break my heart because I think I'm looking at, like, a version of me 10 years before. Like, talk a little bit about, like, where you are, how you work, like, how does this play into your life?
Yep. So I have 3 young boys, 5 and younger, and I never sit still. I get up in the morning. I don't get up in the morning. They get me up in the morning, jump on me. We rush. It's a mad dash to get out of the house. I drop them off at school, which thankfully I can do very early. I grab my coffee on the way passing the kitchen. I sit down at my desk. I work from home. And it's all day, every day. There are fires to put out. There's, you know, you hardly have time to, like, think about lunch. And then at some point I realize, oh, shit, I have to go pick up my kids. Go pick up my kids. Come drop them off. There's usually food on the table for them, which I'm very thankful for. And it's just a rinse and repeat. Like, I'm going through, you know, bedtime and slacking somebody or a text message comes in from one of the content guys like, hey, let's do this. And again, I want to jump on every single opportunity and I have an inherent problem of not acting immediately, which is not a healthy place to be.
You always act immediately.
I need to.
You're like me. I have that same disease.
It's like an anxiety. Like, if I don't respond now,
then it's just bugging you.
It's bugging me and it's sticking in my head, or it will, like, compound and become a larger issue or opportunity that I've missed for every minute that I'm missing it. So my 3-year-old Eli will turn to me and say, like, mom, put down the phone. Like, that's a terrible thing for, like, your child to say to you. So it's me. I have to work on the balance of it all and making sure that, like, I am in the moment. My moments are fleeting. Like, my kids are, my 5-year-old is in kindergarten and an adult.
It goes so fast.
So it's moving really quickly.
But. Yeah. And what do your, like, what do your girlfriends say? Do your girlfriends work like you do?
Yeah. Everybody has different jobs. Some work for themselves. Some don't work but are busy at home. And nothing.
And do you love this time? Or are you overwhelmed by it or stressed? Like, what are the words that you would? Because I think you're at such an interesting point in your career where you're running something really big. It's been hugely successful. It's extremely stressful and uncertain and volatile. I think the commerce business is very volatile because you can't, you really have very little predictability and you have even less control.
Yep.
That's at the same time of, like, you're raising a young family, you're working from home, which I think compounds this feeling of, like, I better be triple on it or they're going to think I'm slacking. Like, I think you have, like, I see in you all my neuroses, which is awesome and also terrible and makes me sad. but it also makes me like, I just want to hug you all the time. So, but like, what are the words you would use to describe like where you are in your life right now?
I think, I mean, exciting. Like, it's like, this is, I've always been, how can I be the best? I'll always figure it out. Like, somebody asks me to do something and I'm like, sure, I'll do it. It's something that like my dad taught me. He was always an entrepreneur starting his own businesses. Like, he has stories of like going into a major carrier company and saying like, hey, do you do this? And he's like, yeah, we do that and we figure it out. So I think I'm in a very exciting point. I feel so fortunate to be in my position, fortunate to have the power of Barstool behind me, and also the autonomy to like make decisions and like be entrepreneurial and be who I am. I didn't work in finance because I can't be in a cubicle and I can't be told like this is how it's done and just rinse and repeat and do the exact same thing. Every day is different. You never know what's going to whack you in the face. We make magic happen and people expect magic, which is like to a fault to us. But it's like just exciting.
It's exhilarating.
It's exhilarating. Yeah. It's stressful and hard, very hard. There are hard days, but like seeing my team grow, get involved, like seeing them grow, seeing the business grow, walking around the streets and seeing our products live and or at like classic event, everybody is enjoying Barstool Golf merch because it's incredible. It's just all like very gratifying.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's great. What's your advice to like the version of you 10 years younger?
Go stay on your path. Always say yes. Figure it out. Just keep going. I think you're going to hit some roadblocks, but everything is a learning experience. And make it happen.
Now that we've heard from Alex, hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving, first and foremost. If not, hope you had a great weekend after Thanksgiving or just a great week this week. To celebrate, why not have a High Noon? Real vodka, real juice. You can get it anywhere alcohol is sold. All you do is pop one. Maybe you add a little bit of vodka to it. It's only 100 calories. That's without the extra vodka. It's the perfect gift if you want to give someone a great taste for the holidays. And then it's also a great drink. So head to your local liquor store and get some today. So adulting. Adulting is about shopping. Shopping's one of my favorite things to do. I don't know if I'm great on smart shopping tips, but I do like to shop. So here we go. The first question in adulting is, what are my go-to holiday gifts? L.L. Bean. I am a huge promoter, supporter, advocate, shopper of L.L. Bean. What I do is I go to llbean.com. I go to the boat and tote section, which is a cheesy name, but I love it. So LL Bean. The camo tote bag monogrammed is my go-to gift. I think I've ordered like 70 of them of this year. So ruining it for everyone who works with us, we're doing monogrammed LL Bean camo totes. But that's my number one go-to gift. Second go-to gift I have, I like personalization. I think just having a gift that can be funny and personalized is the best gift ever. So I like to put a lot of funny sayings on like iPod cases or earpod cases or briefcases or pouches. So there's a company called TDE. They're here in New York City. You can also find them online. You can customize all the monogramming on a whole bunch of things, wallets, pod cases, you name it. That's a great gift. They show up. It's super well packaged. It's really premium. It looks great. I love the colors. So that's my second go-to gift. Other gift I would advocate for is the pen. So Token CEO has stuff on sale. I love the mugs. We have a candle. Moonman Sam made an awesome work like a girl mural. I'm staring at it right now. It's awesome. I love the mugs. I love the candles. And I use the pens all the time. Sometimes I get annoyed when the pen leaks through so that the page behind the page you're writing on is like color and shit on it. I hate that. Makes me feel like I'm wasting paper. So these pens are awesome. They write well. They make your handwriting look good. They say industry standard, Barstool Sports. We have a couple other slogans on there. And you can get those at the Barstool store. In terms of favorite items from the Barstool sale, Brianna's stuff I thought crushed. I'm wearing her Don't Date Frat Boy sweatshirt. Love it. She also has a Puff Paint sweatshirt that I bought. I bought all of Alex Cooper's stuff, which we made and I thought was awesome. So I bought a green hoodie that says Unwell. I bought all of her wellness check stuff. I thought that was hilarious. So I bought all of Alex Cooper's stuff. I bought the Chicks in the Office lightning bolt pajamas, which I thought were adorable. I got a bunch of other hoodies. There was some Barstool hoodies with like prints in the hoods themselves. Those were incredible. I bought Dave's One Bite Pizza hooded sweatshirt. I bought a BFF sweatshirt and ornament. Basically, I shopped, basically took my paycheck instead of putting it in my savings account, just spent it on the store where I could get things for free. But that's shopping for the holiday season. All right, so Lorenzo says it's time to just say goodbye, which is code for you've driven me nuts in this episode. So if you haven't already, subscribe, leave us a rating, give us a review. You can DM us questions on any platform. We're getting a ton of DMs. We love it. I've been doing Instagram Ask Me Anything, so you can look for me there. And then you can watch this episode along with every other on our YouTube channel. So finally, if you're like Eddie and you haven't signed up for our newsletter, Things You Missed, go to barstool.link/TYM. And we'll see you back here next week.